This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of the Blues NHL podcast, brought to you by our friends at lineupmedia.fm. Happy to have my friends in studio, Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimball. What's going on, fellas?
Not much. Welcome back from healthy Scratchville, Jim.
Well, I'm always a healthy scratch.
He must have got on the bike, did a little extra, got in the coach's good books. He's back. Now, listen, I've been in this situation before. When you come back from being a healthy scratch, I don't want to make you nervous, but usually, like, you're kind of inching your way back into the lineup, and then as soon as you make a mistake, you're back on the shelf again.
So I'm ready to be
on the
shelf.
I'm just saying, you're not a regular, and when you're not a regular, you got to perform perfectly.
I'm ready to be on the shelf. I like the shelf. The shelf was a lot of fun.
Look what Seabrook did last night.
Yeah.
They got stuck on the shelf for the first time in 900 and some games, and boom, there's a goal. Yeah.
You know what? Good for him, though.
Yes, hats off.
You know what? Like, too many guys now just get the benefit from the goal. Well, he's got this many years. He's got this many games. You know, screw that. If you're not playing good, and kudos to Joel Quenneville for doing it, because that's not an easy decision to make. And then props to Brent Seabrook for jumping back, not pouting, not being a baby, not being a an individual. He wears a letter on his jersey for a reason, and I think he proved it. We can all hate the Chicago Blackhawks and the wakey-wakey eggs and bakey there, Brent Seabrook. But at the end of the day, I appreciate the older guys who've been around for a while, and they bounce back like that. It's always good to see that. If I'm playing Chicago, I still want to see their best and beat them. I don't want to just beat them because Brent Seabrook's out of lineup.
And the case that he was in there too, which is good, because that could go south on you. Because if you come back and because now Q's got your, he's taking you out. You've won a hockey game without you.
He's lucky he got back in right away.
You're correct. You win a game, and usually when you win a game, the coach goes to that same lineup.
Yeah, so makes it easy for the coach.
It's a good thing, you know.
Yeah.
Is that the message that you hear people talk about sometime? You know, hey, send a message.
Well, yeah. You know, I think that
You get it before you get going. But look, and we'll get into this, I think, today.
Fucking get into it, Kimball.
But look at Tarasenko. He doesn't get added to the all, and he's having a good, he's having an all right year. All right, because he's putting points on the thing. All right, I'm going. But this could be a wake-up call to his ass coming down the road. He said, hey, now I'm not looking. Shen's come, put in these numbers, and he's got a higher tag going, and he goes to the thing. Petro's going to the thing. You know, maybe he needs the break. I don't know. That's the way they're going to go, but I'm going to say maybe this wakes his ass up a little bit.
Look, I'm not saying guys get complacent, but they do get comfortable.
Correct.
And I can tell you that there's two sides of it. There's guys that never get comfortable, and I've been in that. You know, that role pretty much my entire career was like, fuck, every time the coach asked to see you at all, you think, holy shit, I'm traded, I'm gone. Yeah, really. Hey, you know, good morning, Rivs, how you doing? Ah, where am I going? Like that kind of shit, you know? And then you got the guys on the other side that no matter how many giveaways they have, no matter how many times they screw up, how many minuses they have, they play no matter what. And that's not good either. So you want to try and have guys who, you know, play the game confidently, but know that nobody's safe, meaning you better bring your A game all the time, and especially in today's NHL, like you don't have those nights to come in average. You lose two games in a row, shit, you're back out of the playoff picture. So more than ever now, the guys have to be held accountable, and I'm glad Coach Q did that. And you know what? Coach Yeo should be starting to do the same thing. There's guys that just don't, you know, they're not giving it. They're not playing like this is it,
yep.
You know, and it is it. Like, I know they're okay. They've been hovering around in first place and in the Central Division. But if you look at the standings, Dallas, Nashville, Winnipeg, Minnesota, everybody's bunching up there. And before you know it, Chicago will be in there too. Watch, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like I said, two wins or two losses in the wrong direction, and a lot changes. And then what?
Well, and
then you'd want to make your lineup changes? Then you want to shock some guys?
But here's – and it's coming quicker than you think because the Blues, they're on their week little vacation here, but the –
Well, we'll get into that. Don't worry.
They played like four or five games more than everybody. So when these teams start catching up, they're going to see where they're laying when everyone equals out in games.
Yeah, when they come back off their little pina coladaville here,
yep.
They could be in for a rude awakening of being a wild card team.
Do you think Mr. Bettman goes on these trips with these guys when they take this week fantasy land thing that I've never heard of before?
Well, I know this.
God.
I know this. That what are they, like at Six Flags, right? You must be this tall to ride the ride.
Yeah, you don't get in.
Gary Bettman doesn't get to get in the amusement parks. He has to go to Toonie Land there. What's it, Looney Tuneville?
When we did this shit last year, this come out about, and we had this, and I was mad about it then, too. I hear this all the time about the game, the way it's played now, that they need their rest, they need this, they play two. And I'm going, cut this shit out, guys. Like, you're damn hockey. Then the players – which players are deciding this is my curiosity, because you want to play all them. Back in the day, you wanted to play, because if you weren't playing, you were practicing.
I'd rather play than practice exactly. Any freaking day of the week. So
if you could get me playing more games, that means that you go on a week hiatus here, and you'd be practicing. And you know what that meant back in the old day? Get the shit skated out of you, getting ready to play the next game.
You're battling the piss out of the guy beside you, whatever.
Yeah, now, you wanted to play.
You want a rude awakening.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, Cromes, you want a rude awakening? Go down to the American Hockey League. You play Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon. And it might be in four different cities.
Yeah.
That's a route. Now, that's a grind. Oh, back-to-back games. God, I want to rip my freaking eyeballs out when I hear, well, it's a back-to-back game. We're going to be tired. Back-to-back. You got two hockey games. If you play a lot as a forward, that means you've played 14, maybe 15 minutes in a game. So 30 minutes of hockey in 48 hours.
And holy crap.
That's
very intense.
No, I don't give a shit how intense it is. They're faster today, I'll say that. But it was way more physical back in the day, and that's just as hard.
But the travel is way easier now because you've got
private
planes. I ain't
flying commercial planes
so
anymore.
Back in the day, we'd get out, we'd play the game, go out, have a couple sodas. You're waking up at 5 in the morning to get on that commercial flight to go to the next city. And then you get on there, you fly in, and you're bussed down there, and you're getting into bed, go to bed for a couple hours, and you're going to play a hockey game.
And if you're a rookie, you got the middle seat between two old people or something.
it's just a different
I'm telling
animal.
You right now, we get on that plane from New York when I play with the Islanders. We called it the Raisin Bus because you'd have all these old people, all the wrinkled old people in there, and they'd be flying down to Florida for the winter, and you get a middle seat in the Raisin Bus.
Yep.
You'd be like, what the hell's going on here?
You got Bertha and Ed, and you're sitting in the middle and everything.
Get off there smelling like mothballs.
Jiminy Christmas.
Jay, that's true shit, though.
I mean, who knew where this conversation was going today?
It's just got me, you know. Look, let's go right into it, okay? Before we go into it, we're going to call this our innovative heating and cooling hot stove. I know I started this shit last week, but we're going to roll with it because there's lots of stuff to talk about.
It got hot, too. It got hot.
It's
hot in here.
So this segment here brought to you, innovative heating and cooling systems, anything you need for AC, furnace, if you're hot or cold, give these guys a call. This is the innovative hot stove.
Hot stove.
Hot stove.
Like Nelly should be playing in the background now.
Ah! James Brown. Hot stove. All right, so here, hot stove, and I know I just flew in with this. I'm actually just
You were coming in hot today.
I'm coming in hot. Get it? Hot stove.
I got it. I got it.
So I'm just dropping this shit on the table right now. Since we're on it, we're going to talk about the five-day break here. Kimby, we just sort of touched on it, but we have a five-day break now that's mandated, and then we have an all-star break. Like, why are we doing this?
I'm really – well, I told you what I'm hearing. Here's my thing with this, Rivs. I don't get it. People – for the players, for one thing, also, they get on a roll. They want to stay on a roll. The team gets hot. They want to stay on a hot. I think for the Blues, and I hate to say this, right now what they're going through, they got some players here that if I was Mr. Yo, I'd probably say, well, the five-day break, you guys come visit me down here at the office. They probably can't do that in this new bargaining.
Not thing, allowed.
But they need to come, Mr. And then the older boys. A few older boys here are going minus four in this, and so they need to get their head back on if this Blues team's even going to compete at this level, because, you know, there's a little trouble in paradise here is what I'd like to say. But so you get time off, then all of a sudden they get back, and what if they get rolling then? Then you're into the All-Star break. Where does momentum
come
from?
Too much stop and go.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like back in the day, and I know we say that all the time back in the day. Well, I don't play now, so I played back then. Yeah. So that's all I can reference. And it's not a bitter has-been moment. It's just a fact that we had the All-Star break only, and then that Olympic break came in later on, okay, in my career. But we're not even going to talk about that right now.
That's not on the table this year.
We'll talk about the All-Star break. And the All-Star break was usually 3 or 4 days.
Yep.
And that's what you had for your break. You didn't have these mandated five-day breaks. Like, if I'm Mike Yo right now, there's two sides of it that I'm looking at. One, I love it because it gives Jaden Schwartz and Curtis Sanford, the old goalie.
I played with him.
He was the goalie. Yeah.
He played with him in the River Otters.
Jesus, Curtis Sanford. That's who my brain is.
Hey. This shit happens to everybody, see? Always blames me for names. Look at him. There he goes.
Well, at least I pronounced it right. So Zach Sanford and Jaden Schwartz get to have a little extra time of healing, and hopefully Schwartz's back maybe right after the break. And for that, Mike Yo is probably sitting there going, perfect timing for this. For the rest of it, though, as a coach, there's no way I like this break right now because we are hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold. Like when you're doing that in your season, like you want to nip that in the bud. You want to get in the video room. You want to make sure that you're just going through a systems practice. Nothing hard. You're not bagging the crap out of the guys, but you want to make sure you're tightening up everything because this is a big playoff race. Five teams, yep, the Central Division, are probably going to make the playoffs. You don't want to be the bottom one.
I was looking at the other day in both conferences. You got like 12 teams in each conference that are still fighting for their, they're in this hunt big time.
There's literally only two or three teams that are like out.
Exactly.
And they're not even mathematically out yet. However, they're out.
It's a fight, yeah.
So this break for me, I just don't understand why the players would want this. As a player, I wouldn't want it. I'd rather, and they talk about this condensed season all the time. Oh, there's so many games, one on top of another. Well, no shit. You're hammering a break in here for every team. You could have spread out two games in these 5 days.
Yep.
And then the Blues maybe wouldn't have had to sandwich in. How many back-to-backs did they have in the month of January? Like three? Mm-hmm. Four?
Yeah.
Something stupid like that. Not January, December.
Is it the back-to-back as much as the 3 and 4 nights?
I
know what you've already said. I know, but I'm just saying. I mean, but to your point, it is what it is. So, you know, maybe there would still be some back-to-backs because of scheduling, but 3 and 4 nights is probably what you would
eliminate.
Well,
yeah, but you could spread it out.
Sure, yeah.
Right? So now you could have this spread out a little bit. So the players fight for these 5 days off, and then they don't even realize that. Then they're complaining about, well, we have so many games in a short period of time. Well, hey, guys, do the math. Take a look at your break. Take a look at the All-Star break. Thank God we don't have an Olympic break this year.
Could you really actually let's be realistic about it? And we're not crowing on the old-time hockey here, but could you imagine this kind of schedule and you're sitting there with the rivalries that used to be back in the day? With if we were playing the Blackhawks back-to-back and people are fighting, pulling hair, and shit's going on, and that was a mental drag right there because, you're thinking about it for 48 hours straight. You're thinking Hawks, Hawks, Hawks were playing, so we got to do this, do this, do this. You're not even in that rivalry moment right now, and, it's not even there. So, you get to – if it was back in the day, you get through that. It was like you didn't need to get your head straightened on here for about – you need a good drunk after that one.
No kidding.
You were going to war for a while.
Well, my legs were never sore back then, right? Because you talk about, the legs get tight. My legs were never tired. Tell you what was tired was my shoulders, my forearms, the back of my legs, the back of my neck, my face. Everything was sore because it was hack and whack and punch and cross-check and finish your hit at all costs. You're blocking shots. You're doing all this shit. Because even if they were in October, these games, it was playoff style.
Yep.
So,
but you go look at the minors when you touched on it earlier when you're playing the four games in 5 nights or three, whatever you're playing. There was times, and believe me, I do know this because in the minors I got to play. I played on a regular basis, got to do played a lot of ice. Some nights I'd, on that fourth night, I felt pretty damn good. Things were, the system finally, the old bones were getting back to where they would. So that didn't
well, by then, usually teams weren't going near you at the end of the weekend. Kimby, let's be honest. You're getting a little grumpy, and you'd give the eyeballs at somebody, and they'd be like, "Yeah, I think we'll stay away from Kimball."
But I've always bitched this. Getting into this period, you need a week off. There's time in your schedule, and it was always set up where that week was there at some point in time without announcing that we're going on a goddamn holiday.
No, you'd have a light work week. Yeah. You know, Jimmy Roberts was awesome for it in the minors when I started. We'd have, you know, a bit of a college hockey schedule where we'd play, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and kind of do that thing. Yeah. And when we had those, he'd always have, you know, Monday, if we play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday we practiced automatically. Because Jimmy was like, if you want to dance, you got to pay the fiddler. And I didn't understand what he meant at first until I came up for the first one. We had no pucks for like 45 minutes. And we were pissing and moaning. He's like, you want to dance, you got to pay the fiddler, Riv. I got that. Oh, you got to sweat out the booze.
Yes,
so,
yes,
but then Tuesday would be a light skate. He literally, Jimmy would have us go out and separate the team in two colors, and yep. You'd do your pregame warm-up, so 20 minutes, and then that was it. He'd get off the ice, and it was free time. So you go, you know, some guys would get off the ice, get a stretch, whatever.
Old school, and you played for Robbie Fatorik.
Robbie.
When you got to Monday, though, Monday was work day.
Monday was a work day.
You go through it, and you go, you know, we back in the minors, I don't know what he did in the pride and play for him in the NHL.
Well, he did the same thing.
But we did our skating edges. We were going all through that. And we were working on our pet. But it was and then there was a skate at the end. But it was work. You sweated your ass off. And
I always enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, too. I had no problem with it.
You know, I as much as, you know, you enjoy a day off, I got to tell you, I loved being at the rink.
Yeah,
I really did. Like, even if it was just to go out there and screw around, and even if it was go out there and shoot pucks at the goalie, do some dinky little goalie drills to help the goalies out, or work on your sauce passes with your buddies or whatever. Like, you got to love to be at the rink. And so it concerns me league-wide that so many guys talk about, like, how much they need the break. Like,
Do you think the break is for their physicality? Because I don't believe that, but or is it
metal?
One of the wives get in there and said, "Hey, you need to spend some time with the kids here, and here's my week. I get you to spend the time with the kid." You know, that's the.
Yeah.
I don't get it. You know, I wasn't ever married, or I didn't have kids when I was playing the game. I could see where the wife would want you around, maybe because the shit that they got to go
through.
My
wife was hoping for 4-4. She's like, is there a road trip coming up? Rid of you?
Are you guys going to play year round?
Yeah, seriously.
But you know how it is. There's something, you know, it's getting to be, it's too much shit. There's something got to be new every time, and it gets old after
a while. It is. I'm telling you. And, you know, we'll find out how this works out for the Blues, you know, because they're going to have two breaks, like you said. Yeah. They'll have this break, they'll have the All-Star break, and then hopefully they get their shit together, and hopefully Schwartzy gets back, and hopefully there's a Sanford sighting, because at this point, I'm more than eager to see what he can bring to the table. If anything, who knows? He might just be another guy that skates up and down the wing at a million miles an hour and does nothing, or he might be a guy that could potentially be a 20-goal scorer.
And let me go somewhere. We're gonna just skip to something else here. Right?
Here we go.
Here we go.
It concerns a break.
Hang on. We're going to change the landscape. You know what that means?
Yeah, I do.
This segment's brought to you by Nelson Landscaping.
Okay.
You want to change the look of your yard? You want to get things changed up? You want to go something new, something different? Call Nelson Landscaping, nelsonlandscaping.com.
NelsonLandServices.com.
NelsonLandService.com. So Kimby's going to change the scenery right now. Compliments of NelsonLandServices.com.
I'm changing it just a little bit, and you're going to understand where I'm going here, because I was listening to, after Costin come off the World Junior break there.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
And we were.
Here we go.
And I want to see him bring Costin here just to see what he's got. I think it's time.
Yeah.
So Costin gets in the has an article somewhere where he talks about what we've talked about earlier, the farm system, how it's working. And he brought out, and he let the cat out of the bag, which we've talked about earlier. You're playing with another hockey team. He started out at the top of the ladder, but then the other team wanted their kids playing more, so, and that's what happens in the minors.
And Colorado's playing better, right? Yes. So they want their prospects. Yeah. They're like, oh, shit.
So we've gone through this part. So where I'm going with, so Costin said that. So he's down there. Now he's going to come off a high at the World Juniors. He's going there. You got your Thompson kid that's sitting here playing one of the top five guys on our team easily. You know, he's on the ball. Now he's going to go down to the minors for a while. What are they going to do with him down there? Is he guaranteed ice time down there? We don't know that. You know he's going to do that, and then he's going to come up and make.
Well, I'll jump in here just for a second.
We had this conversation last year.
Not yet. Well, this is I'm not going to jump in on that part of it yet. Yep. I'll tail end on that one. Yep. Now, guaranteed that Mike Yeo and Doug Armstrong have talked to San Antonio. They're probably saying, "Look, we're not going to lend you Tage Thompson for him to play third line and like second power play. Mm-hmm. You're getting him for 5 days. We want you to play the shit out of him." And I can guarantee that they said yes. And so that's why they would send him there. Otherwise, they have the ability to turn to Chicago and ask Rocky Thompson, who their team is like 11 or 12 games in a row that they have point streak.
They're at the top of the ladder here.
Yeah, they're playing great. So you don't think he'd like to add Tage Thompson for a week? He would. Mm-hmm. So this is where I'm going to have to say there would have been communication on this, or Tage Thompson would have been put in a different situation to keep going on this.
Because it's him, and they sent Dunn down too, didn't they?
Yeah.
So but he was off, so he needed to get skating, which they can have
skating.
Which
is bullshit, too.
Yeah, but that's what I'm concerned about, and I'm just going off of what Costin was saying, and that's, we talked about this earlier, me and Rivs, and with Jim, when you were here, the farm system is hugely important to you, because if all your guys are on that team, at least you get to dictate what's going on down there with your guys. When you're dealing with another hockey team, now, and that's what Costin was basically saying on there. My minutes have decreased. Whether he's playing that card that he wants to maybe get called up here, is he smart enough for that game? I don't know. But
he might be playing a little game of reverse psychology on this one.
Could be doing that. So, but I want to see him up here. I want to see you come off you always want to see your younger guy go out. Confidence level is high with him right now. I'm not saying it wasn't San Antonio because his numbers weren't very good. But he come off the World Junior. Everyone's talking about him. Throw him in the goddamn lineup when he's at his best. Let's see what he's got. Play him with somebody. Let's see what he's got, because it can't hurt you right now.
No, it can't hurt you.
I saw the tweet that you had commented on. Do you believe that actually happened, that Armstrong told him if you play well in the juniors, we're going to give you a shot in St. Louis?
When you're dealing with an agent.
No way.
I'll tell you what. You're dealing with an agent because I've always – and you'll hear this. Many guys drive on or flying on the plane, or back in the day you'd be the bus – we always used to say, geez, I like to be a fly on the wall when my agent's in there talking to this guy.
Yeah, you want
to
find out if he's really doing his job.
To see what the really hell, because an agent, basically, they're there to pump your tires. You know, if things ain't going well, the first guy that you're going to call, because you're trying to find an answer out, you're going to call your agent. And then your agent's going to say, he might not even call the goddamn GM, because you don't know, he's going to call you back and say, oh, yeah, you need to do this, you need to do that, and he's going to let it ride out. So you don't know really if that was said. I don't know if Army's not going to go out on a limb and say, yeah, I'll give you. You can't do that.
There's
GM
no guarantees, no. Right? Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
There's no way that an Army told his agent that, we're calling you up for sure. That just, if one, it doesn't happen. Two, it doesn't follow the pattern of the way Doug Armstrong does things.
No.
He is very, very, I don't want to say secretive. He holds his cards close to his chest. And this would go against everything he's always done as far as the way he operates. So to backtrack now, to go to this horrific setup for the Blues minor league system, this is where it really impacts the team. Today's NHL, you are having to grow your product. And so the farm team, it really does, that description of the team really holds true now. Like when we were playing, Kimby, the farm team, it is what it is. You were going to get called up no matter what if you got drafted in a certain place. And you could fight your way into the NHL. You could score your way. But now, because of the salary cap, because of the way, like 26, 27, you're old now, right? Yep. So now more than ever, it's so important to farm your players. And not having a primary affiliate is a freaking nightmare.
Yep.
Because you're going to want your Sammy Blaze, your Tage Thompson, your Costins, your Vince Dunns, your Wallmans, you know, all these guys who are your future. Next year or the year after, these guys are going to be on the team. Mm-hmm. They should be. But now, will they be? Because this is a whole year of progression that they're kind of sort of getting farmed or marinated. As
they're just playing hockey. They're not
playing
learning a system, right?
And their system that they're learning is Colorado's system or Vegas's system, because they run Chicago. So then they come up to the Blues and they got to wipe the slate clean and go, okay, so how the hell do we do this now? And then Coach Yeo and all his staff have got to try and go over this thing quickly to get these guys up to speed. So you're losing a year of development with guys who play an extended period of time in the minors, because like you said, Costin starts off first line, second line, third line, and it's because it goes hand in hand with Colorado's playing better. Therefore, the players that are bubble players in Colorado, they're sending them down. Why? Because it makes sense to develop them. Mm-hmm. And they're winning.
Yep.
So now when they call their players up, they got kids who are knowing what the hell they're doing because they're playing. Who gives a shit about the Blues players? If I'm San Antonio or Chicago in the American League, why do I care?
Yep.
We already know the Chicago organization doesn't care much for the Blues.
But that's the old Montreal philosophy. And you growing up, when we were growing up, Montreal, they did it, and they were credited for having their own fire system run up.
They ran it like a communist thing,
yeah,
almost.
But because you had to go down there. You had to pay your dues. You weren't just coming into the National Hockey League. You paid your dues, and they all did it. They all did it. They had to pay their dues. And when I was there, when I first got there, Halifax had finally – and we're at the bottom of the barrel, and that's when they should have been having their own farm team, and they finally got to that in Halifax, like the Nordiques did. But I was talking to players that played in Freddie Beach, and so you'd have Quebec had and Vancouver were sharing a farm team.
Freddie Beach was Fredericton.
New Brunswick. And it was these guys would play together, and the coach was on the Vancouver was their coach at the time for the Vancouver organization, and the guys would get shafted, and that was just a fact. The guy was going to answer to his boss, and whoever put that guy in place, that's where he was. And that's, you don't blame him, because that's his job.
Would I give a shit about if let's just put it right here, let's map it out easily. I'm in San Antonio as the head coach. Colorado Avalanche is my employer. Why would I give a shit about the St. Louis Blues players? Now, we'd like to say that, well, there's a certain respect in the game of hockey, and he's got a job as
integrity.
Well, but not really. So, but that coach in the minors, like, he's looking at it going, well, he may never coach in Colorado, so maybe if he does a good job, you know, the Blues might keep him there next year because they don't have a coach yet for their American League team. Mm-hmm. However, when push comes to shove and Joe Sakic picks up the phone and says, hey, so-and-so, what are you doing? I need this kid to be playing 14, 15 minutes a game. You got him at 11. Well, we're playing the Costin kid, you know? Yeah, well, not anymore.
Exactly. Then that's right.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And Doug Armstrong calls, and he, you know what he says? Oh, yeah, Doug, we'll try to find a spot for him. Yeah. Meanwhile, he knows damn well he's not going to find a spot for him.
And he could be sitting there saying, well, you know, Costin isn't really doing this right now. And really, and he could that's his own view. And,
yeah.
You know, and that's – once you get to your own establishment, you're playing your own systems, you're doing everything else – then things, and when the kid comes up, he just, you know, everyone says you're coming up from the minors and you just walk in and you should be ready. Well, if you're actually playing the same system down in the minors, like Robbie Fattori did it with when we were in Albany, they played the trap. They played the trap in New Jersey. So when you went up, you damn well better know, because if you didn't know, Lou Lamoriello was sending your ass right back down to the minors. So you had to know how to play it because you were playing it down in the minors.
Well, one of the first teams that I played with that actually mandated that both teams play exactly same systems was when I was with Ottawa, Jacques Martin, who, in my opinion, doesn't get enough credit for how smart he is as a hockey man. Smart guy. Not a player's coach.
There's a guy that looks like Hitler and acts like Hitler. until you know him.
Look, he's a nice guy.
Yes.
But he's not the guy that you're going to be like, hey, Jacques, let's go for beers.
No, you're not.
Like, he's not really going to talk you. No, he's going to talk you to sleep more than anything. But nevertheless, an incredible hockey brain on this guy.
Correct.
And I remember the year I went into training camp with Ottawa, and they were like, he changed everything. He says, okay, he had all the American League coaches there, all his coaches, and all the players in training camp, even though he knew like 3 days later half of that squad's going to the minors, and he implemented the systems. Mm-hmm. And then he mandated that the coaching staff in Grand Rapids at the time, because they were affiliated with Ottawa, it wasn't Detroit time, at that time, mandated that they play the exact same systems. And at the first time that... It wasn't like reinventing the wheel, but it's the first time that I'd ever seen it done so directly. And guess what? We had injuries. We had all sorts of shit happen. And every player that came up stepped in like they'd never been anywhere else.
Yep.
And then fast forward, when I played with the Red Wings, now their farm team was Grand Rapids at this point. This is several years later, like 4 years later. But Scotty Bowman and Dave Lewis and those guys, and Kenny Holland, I'm sure he was the mastermind behind it, mandated that their minor league team play the exact same system. Now, it was even more focused because we always go up to Traverse City with the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. And so you're on a like a secluded island up there, pretty much. Not an island, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so you spend 4 days or 5 days. So nobody gets sent home early because you do the whole 5 days up there. And everybody learns a system. And they have three sheets of ice. And then what happens is they break the team up into two separate teams, and the one you can tell is the minor league team. And that minor league coach goes out on the ice with the current Red Wings head coach, who just observes, and they run through systems, and so that they get to know it inside and out. And the year we won the President's Trophy, we had so many injuries in Detroit, and we had guys step in and play like rock stars. And it's not because they were fantastic hockey players. They were great hockey players, but they played the system to a T. And so, therefore, when you're out there, I didn't, as a defenseman, I knew I had to step up on this in the systems. Like, we played aggressive. I didn't have to worry about my left winger because we played the left wing lock. I knew that whoever it was, whether it was Ray Whitney, Brendan Shanahan, or player X, that they were going to be there.
Yep.
And what a difference it makes. We never had a moment that year where we had to drop off because of injuries. We were able to maintain and even continue to win. So
I think back in the old day, though, Riz, when it went through the process, if a goal scorer got hurt, a goal scorer was called up. If a tough guy was, if they needed it, he was called up. Now I think you're in a different atmosphere.
No, I'm going to disagree with you.
I don't.
I'm going to disagree with you. Because back in the day, more often than not, if anybody got hurt, the top scorer got called up. Even if it was third or fourth. Robbie Fatorik changed that.
Yeah, because we didn't do it that way.
But I'm telling you, that was used to be the way. And that was the biggest beef for some of these goal scorers in the minors was, I get called up, I play 6 minutes a game on the fourth line.
You see, but when I was with the teams I was on, the top goal scorer was a career minor leaguer. He was never going to get that shot anyway.
Yeah,
and that's just the way it was. And he was there, and he was getting paid his $100,000 from the minors. And that's where he was going to sit, no matter what he scored.
Well, I saw a lot of guys in my day get called up and put in the wrong position. Now, I will say Robbie Fatorik was the first guy that I came across in Boston. This was 2001, where he legitimately, I'm having trouble with that one today, called up goal scorers to replace goal scorers, tough guys to replace tough guys.
And he did that in Albany, too, though, because when he was in the Albany doing it, when Lou would call down, Robbie would say, this is the guy. Like Steve Sullivan, if a goal scorer, Steve Sullivan went up and played it. If there was a tough guy, then Reed Simpson or someone went up and played it. And
which is what you should be
that's
doing.
That's what it did. But now, I think with the way the systems are done, if you're a top three line player, even top four, I think you got to go up there and you got to be ready to play them all because it's a different game.
Well, the game has changed, right? So the role player is almost extinct.
Extinct, yeah. So you got to be ready to roll with all of them.
All right, well, switching gears here again. We're going to go on the bench with Butter here, and we're going to talk about the Nashville Predators bench. So on the bench with Butter is anything you need to do with your taxes, if you have problems with the IRS, if you've got to have some planning and resolution done, taxes resolution by TommyBrown.com. And we're going to go on the bench here and discuss Nashville Predators and possible trades here at the deadline. Rumor has it, little birdie told me.
Oh. Twitter that, alert.
Yeah. Look, Twitter.
People love this
Twitter,
for you.
Twitter, bird.
No,
get
people
it?
Love this when you start doing this kind of stuff.
I heard Jamie Rivers say.
There's a rumor has it that the Nashville Predators are going to be making a pitch for one of three players. First player, Max Pacioretty. Second player, Mike Hoffman. Even though I know the Blues are rumored to be in there, Predators are going for it, and Evander Kane. So now, Evander Kane, to me, I wouldn't touch that with a 20-foot pole, like the Grinch who stole Christmas, you know? I wouldn't touch that with a 20-foot pole. Now, however, is he a great rental for them? Does he provide another 20-goal scorer type atmosphere? Can he do it? He plays pretty tough. Like, he might have an axe to grind. He may have an axe to grind to go in there and play. He's on a contract.
The way his game is supposed to be played is so it would fit that Nashville program.
It'd be great.
You know, he would fit right into that.
It'd be great, right? Yep. So here we are. And Chromes, you can jump in on this because you're our resident fan.
Knucklehead,
fan, puckhead, whatever you want to call it. Here we are listening to the fact that the Nashville Predators, who are a team that was to be reckoned with to start with this year. They got all the way to the finals last year, and you can tell they've been loading up again. They got tourists. They've done a bunch of things to make that team better or keep it as good. And now there's big talk about adding Pacioretty, Hoffman, or Evander Kane. They have $2.9 million currently in cap space. So if they sent a minor contract the other way, the $2.9 million would be easily covered because you're not paying that for the rest of the year. You're getting, you know, a quarter of that is what you're going to pay. So they'll still be under the cap. So as a fan, what are your thoughts when you hear about Nashville willing to make that trade and we're not really hearing anything here in Blueville?
Well, long time ago, I used to think why are we not doing something? Why is everybody else doing something? We're not doing something. Then the Blues went through a stretch years ago where we were always making trades. We went through that too, and the fans get excited. Fans like change, right? Now that I'm a little older and minorly wiser, I believe in the theory of if we're not doing something, then it tells me, and I mean, and this is why I would hold them to task, tells me our GM doesn't think we're close. That's what I believe as a fan. Like when the Cardinals do it or whatever, and people say, I don't understand why we're not doing this. I don't understand. Because I really believe that the powers that be are you know, yeah, they're supposed to build this, supposed to build that. But I look at it as a fan, like what it tells me is that the front office doesn't believe in the group out there. That why would I give this to you? Why would I mortgage a future guy? Why would I take on this money? Because it's not going to make any difference. Because the guys that I've already trusted this to, you're not pulling up your end of the bargain. So I've always looked at it as I've gotten more involved in this kind of stuff, that guy that sits in that office basically tells these guys, you want me to improve this roster? You hold up your end of the bargain, then I'll hold up my end of the bargain. But then on the flip side, see, I look at it, I've said this 3 weeks ago, and you guys probably think I'm crazy or whatever.
Flip-flopper.
But no. I don't want them to do anything because I don't think they're good enough. I don't. I'm just giving you my fan perspective. I've decided I'm fed up with a couple guys. I don't think they're good enough. If we're going to have any opportunity at all to change this thing around, it's Tavares or bust for me in the offseason. What's his name's gone, move another contract, go out and give him whatever he wants, and you've got to change. Okay. You got to change something. Let's go. Sorry, let's that's go my opinion.
Let's go to
hang on.
Let's get to current here.
Okay, I'm going to go part B on this to you. So I've got that question for the fan. Now I got a question for you, Kimby, ex-player and resident general manager here in the studio. I want to know from you. So he's talking about he doesn't think they're good enough, and that's why he believes that Army's not making these changes. So my question to you is, if you're Doug Armstrong or you've been given the job as GM, why are we not good enough? Why wouldn't we make a move? The West is wide open right now. Nobody is running away with it. Vegas is doing a good job of playing make-believe right now, but I think that'll all even itself out. They're a great team, and they'll make the playoffs and all that, but that being said, the West is wide open. So why wouldn't you make a trade?
No, okay.
And if you did, what would you do?
Here's what, and I was watching the Minnesota Hawks game last night, and the guy was describing Minnesota, their situation they're in. Minnesota's got probably at least two guys that are in their top six are going to be coming off the injury list, coming back into the ballgame. So that automatically makes them better. You know, they're going to get better. The Blues, I'm going to put the Blues in that situation. So they got Schwartz in there. So Schwartz is going to come back. So that's going to make them better to a certain point, to a certain degree. I think where Army's going to have the biggest time, so you're dealing with the salary cap era where you're sitting on here, you got a couple players who I believe that he would want to move. I think he's got it in his – I look at it as, and I'll go into the fan thing too, being there. I think they got a couple players here that are underachieving, big time. I think that if you could, you try to move them, but now your salary comes into play. How can I get them the hell out? Who's going to take this on for me?
I think you're going to have to eat some money
to get
it done.
Yeah, so yeah. So you want it, and I think there's some guys that, you know, you've signed to contracts, and I'll put the one guy out there. Steen's having a tough go of it right now. I don't care what's going on. And I think Stastny's having a tough go. Those are my two guys that I'm looking at right at this point in time.
Of the two, who do you think it would be easier to include in a deal or make a deal
with? Well, I got to know their contract first.
Well, so. Steen's still got three more years left.
That's a tough one then.
And he kicks in at like $5 million or something?
Yeah. More than that.
I think it's a cap hit. Let's just say it's $5 million. Yeah. It might be more. So if it's more, then
I thought it was $5.5 million, but I could be wrong.
So he's got three more years. Stas is done.
Yeah.
So who are you looking to move?
Stas is the easy one to move.
Okay. Now he's a 6.7 cap hit, I think.
But you're gonna eat some of his money. But
yeah. But how much can you eat in order to get a deal done and stay under the cap?
But you're trying. So Army's dealing Stas right at this point, he's gonna have to eat some. But he's also getting rid of it for next year too. He's getting rid of that money. Because it's going to go out the wayside.
Well, he's
right?
Got to use it somewhere.
Yeah.
No. For next year.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
So
all right.
I think he's going to get, you know, and then they can cut ties with it.
It's yeah, gone. Yeah.
So I go to get my player, I can cut my tie. What do they need, though, Riv? That's where everyone says they need someone to play with Tarasen. That's the big thing.
I don't think, listen.
And I'm not saying that. I'm just telling
you. I'm not of that belief either.
I think they need, I don't think
I think there's a they need one guy to play in the top six. So if Schwartz comes back, there's your one guy to play in the top. I think they need some spunk in this goddamn lineup. That's what I think. And I think your guy and who's the guy that we brought? Sabokas. So Sabokas in there. So there. I can throw another guy that I could just maybe say.
Sobey came back and everybody thought, oh, wow, his time in the KHL really improved his skills. So well, it did, but he lost his he's lost his original skills.
So then, so on the trade block,
God, he doesn't even hit anybody
on the trade block. If you have Schwartz, Schwartz is going to get back at some point in time. So that's the guy out of Ottawa, the Hoffman. Is it Hoffman?
Yeah.
So there's my Hoffman guy coming in.
Right.
So my wild card is the guy that Nashville's trying to get. If you're trying to get Evander Kane, that's my guy too. Because if he could come in, maybe he gets out of Buffalo because he's been losing there for the last how many years he's been playing there? 6 years, 5 years? I don't know what he's been playing there. He's, you know, that wears on your ass. You get out of there and get a new start. If your contract's getting near the end, I don't know what his contract
is. He's up.
He's up.
If he's up, he's got something to come play for. Now he's got to, so he gets to a team that right now St. Louis is in the, you know, they're in the top 10 to run down this road. They might even be better than that. I don't know. But now you got a guy that maybe could come and give you some spunk.
And he plays hard. When he's on his game.
He needs to change an attitude, I think.
He's as good a power forward as almost anybody in the league.
Yeah.
And you put him on the wing with Shen. Or you put him on the wing with Stastny.
Yep.
Or even if you get rid of Stastny in this equation and you have even Berglund. Mm-hmm. He's a big body. He distributes the puck. You know, he's not – I know he's not your all-star. However, he could be really valuable with a guy like Kane on the wing.
Yeah. But that's the kind of – I think that's a player that you need.
Yeah.
The potential.
Now, I like where you're headed. And now, as we're on this, once again, like last week, I want to remind our fans – we're not just starting shit here. This is make-believe land that we play in with
fantasy land.
Fantasy land, because look, we have I personally have relationships with every guy we're talking about. I know these guys really well, and it's has nothing to do with anything personal for me. This is just what we're talking about if we were putting on our make-believe GM's hat.
Yep.
So let's remember all that.
But and we've only talked forwards here. I'm still
I don't think there's a move on D.
Well, here's what I think, though, and I'll tell you what.
We're not strong enough.
Last night, or the other night, when I seen what Mr. Bertuzzo did, I was going through the TV, and I got very upset.
I almost called you, but I didn't want to get my eardrum broken.
Walk us through that there. Well, walk us through it.
When you cross-check a guy, and the guy sits there for Florida, and he's basically saying, let's go. And you have to fight. We've talked about this. You might have to fight six times in this damn year. And he doesn't do it, but and then all of a sudden the guy that you come into Edmondson that sort of come in at the same time you did, and all of a sudden he's going to fight down in the corner a guy that's probably even tougher and does well and sparks the Blues a little bit, gives them something at that point. At that point in time, they fall off it. But Bertuzzo, what are you doing? Like, that's your job.
Here, okay, so to close out, because no, hang on. I like the direction you're headed, and I was going to get to that.
Yeah.
Because I watched that game very closely. So to close out our segment of On the Bench with Butter here, we're looking to possibly add one of those guys that Nashville's interested in. We're looking to maybe get rid of a contract, eat some money, and I think the general consensus across the board here is that Evander Kane – if his head's in the right spot, he could be the best fit for us. Do we agree on that?
I do.
I would agree. Yeah.
Now, last question on this subject. Robbie Fabbri is missing from our lineup. Is Doug Armstrong maybe right or justified to not go for it this year, but look to go for it next year? Because now you've got Schwartz, Fabbri, you got your whole lineup. Maybe you've gotten rid of a contract and you've brought in, not Tavares, he won't come here. I can tell you that. But you've brought in somebody else. Is this the year that we should go for it? Because I think it is. Or is next year a year that might be planned out better?
Well, I'll start with this question to you because you're the one that knows more than, I mean,
Are we questioning a question?
Yeah, only because I think you
need my lawyer present.
But I think you guys have been pretty honest about. I mean, you have no idea if Fabry's ever going to be the player he was supposed to be.
He may not ever play again, guys. Let's just
that's
be honest
my point.
Here.
But here. So yeah,
here's the answer to your question, Rivers. That I see, and this is and my if you played on any team, this is what the answer would have been. They've got themselves in a spot right at this moment. We're at this moment. We're in a playoff push.
They're a contender.
Right now, they're a contender. So you can't just sit there and go, well, no, I'm going to wait. Nah. You got to push this envelope because you never know what. In St. Louis land, we've been down this road many times where the contender's there and it's fell short.
Fans want you to keep pushing that button to get to that point. So there's no tomorrow. That tomorrow ain't going to work with these fans. They need something, and they need to keep pushing this envelope here. And like I said, they need a little spunk in their life. They're not far away. They just need a little goddamn jump here. And they're close. They're close, but they just need a little something.
Well, let me give you a last fan thing here then. And you two guys are the level-headed ones in the room. You've played. You
Right over level-headed.
Well, I mean, even to the point where some fans would say you dismiss concerns and do that. I'm not saying he's not any good, but there's a goaltending problem.
All right, we're going to get there.
I'm sorry.
We're going to get there.
But I know that sometimes the defense has let him down.
You're not changing the goalie at this point. So
I understand that. That's kind of my point, though.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my point.
No.
That's why we really haven't talked about it, though, because it doesn't happen.
But my point is I haven't seen one thing that would lead me to believe that there's a run in there. I'm sorry. I just don't see it.
Well, we'll get to that because I want to get to that as we lead up to things coming out of the break and what things that have to be improved. Next little bit of information here, I want to talk about here. Riding off of the Evander Kane name, okay, and kind of going back to where you were just at, we're going to have this section brought to us by Innovated Electric because – we got the electrifying personality of Darren Kimball. He's electric. And
before
watch
you got
this.
Here, we were just talking about how he was becoming that old guy.
He's going to get charged up as we head into this next segment.
Can I tell
you that.
Electric slide when we're doing this?
The electric slide. I've seen you do the electric slide. There's not a person safe in the building when you do it.
I can only imagine.
He starts swinging that head around. Holy
shit. Back in the 80s when the lights were coming down.
Cowboy boots, size 14.
Yeah. Now that I have seen.
Kicking women and children by accident.
I've seen him bust those out on a golf trip in the bar.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
He still has spurs on the back of him. So, yeah, this segment here is going to be brought to us by Innovated Electric, who, if you need anything in your house done, brand new wiring, rewiring, anything at all to do with electric, give these guys a call. They're a big partner of ours, big sponsor of ours, best friends of ours. Let's make sure if you got anything to do with electrical, don't mess around. I've learned that the hard way. Call the experts. The experts here are Innovated Electric. So this segment here, we're going to talk about Michael Haley, McGinn, and the Florida Panthers. And what I witnessed in that game was two players who should be irrelevant. Yep. In today's hockey game. They should be irrelevant in this new NHL. But guess what? They were relevant.
Yep.
That frickin' Haley, he ran around and hit everybody. And you know when he did that? After nobody stepped up to him.
Yep.
He hit Tarasenko three times the next shift, so much that Vladdy, skating to the bench, had to, like, mouthed him back and forth. Why is that? Can you imagine, Kimby, back in the day, and back in the day, right? But Brett Hull or Adam Oates, let's go there. Mm-hmm. If they had to skate to the bench, jawing back and forth with a guy on the other team, how fucking far would they have sent you? Yep. The Hockey News wouldn't have even been able to find you, right?
No, you're right.
So
that's the way it is.
So we got Michael Haley, and I don't even know McGinn's first name. I don't even care. He's a piece of shit in my books. We got these guys creating a big difference in the game.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen?
Here's where I run into a little...
on what you started on earlier, if you want.
But here's where I run into a little trouble with it, because you know, the people I connect with on Twitter are obviously fight people, you know, so. I watch what they say, and I say that I got the same beliefs as they do. You know, these guys mm-hmm. that go on Twitter that were going on. Because we grew up at a different time of the game where it was part of the game. But you got little guys, not little guys, you got guys running around. And but when I say this, Rivzo, I want that guy on our team. I wanted the Ryan Reeves to stay. That's why I wanted him to stay here. Because not for the fighting. I wanted him to run around, and he would do it. He would go get their good guys. He would knock the shit out of them. And I wanted that because it got people involved in the game. It made the game. When you're a player sitting on the bench, and I don't care what your role is, if you're a player sitting on the bench back in the day and you could have been Bobby Bassin, who was tough, I'm not taking another one, but or you could have been Richie Sutton, these guys, if someone ran it at the whole fucking bench, come alive. And now we're in the ballgame. So someone sparked our interest, and it made us to be a better hockey team.
There's always a reaction to that. Good or bad.
Good or bad.
But you create a reaction.
Yeah, and And I think those type of players that we're talking about, and Bobby Bassett, I'll use his name, Bob Bass, he's a Christian guy too, so he's not a hateful person. But Bass played an important role. He would run these guys. He would go get them. He played – when I played with Bass on the – when Brian Sutter here in St. Louis, the big year we had with Holly's 86 – he was the check-in line, and he would run, and he would fight guys like
– he was a little pit bull.
He got to Mark Tenorti. Mark Tenorti's like 6'5", and he was a tough son of a bitch, and he gets his attention, which then gets Darren Kimball's attention. And then – but that's – but he brought the whole – those type of players brought everybody into the ballgame. And that's the biggest part of hockey that I find – even the guy – like people I know on Twitter and everything, and I have conversations with – that's the part of the game that we always wanted, because it brought every – that's the intensity level that was brought into this game by those guys. Those were the players, the Jocelyn Lemieux. As much as I hated the son of a bitch, he went after guys and got Claude Lemieux. They went after guys, but they got everybody involved in the game. Oh, and that's when the team game –
well, they forced your hand.
The word team was derived from that kind of shit, because you would sit there on that bench. If Jocelyn Lemieux or Claude, you would get fucking mad. And everybody would. It wasn't just Darren, but Darren Kimball knew he was going to answer the bell. But everybody got invited. You know what
Jocelyn
I mean?
Lemieux, you know, everybody that got drafted number one by the Blues. I think everybody thought this guy was going to come in and light the lamp. But, man, he didn't do that. But let me tell you, there was a lot of glass rattling going on. Hey, did I ever tell you my Bassin story? I'm at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Were you fishing? Bass?
No. Bass Pro.
No. We're at the Lake of the Ozarks at Topsiders on a Sunday. Oh. And this huge boat pulls up. Huge boat pulls up. These people get off. They start playing volleyball. And you know, some guys you know, friends of ours, we're standing at the top deck, and I look down, and I go, man, it looks like Bob Bassin. Somebody goes, there's no way that's Bob Bassin. Half hour later, I go down to the bathroom, and he comes right around the corner, runs right to me, drinking a soda.
So you followed him to the bathroom?
No. And I'm like,
he followed him to the bathroom.
I go, holy shit, Bob Bassin. And he goes, hey, how are you? And I said, big Blues fan. He goes, hey, nice to meet you. I said, can I ask you one question? He said, sure. I said, how do you play the way you play and be a Christian? And he looks me right in the eye and goes, I've read the Bible as many times as anybody on earth, and nowhere near does it say I have to be a pussy.
Did it say Noah's Ark on the site?
Wow. We went a whole nother way. But anyway, I thought that was funny.
It's biblical.
I thought it was funny because when he punched Bob Probert in that scrum that time in the corner, I mean, he could have done no wrong in St. Louis after that.
So we'll get it over to Rips here, but that's where I'm going. Like the Bob Bassins of my day or right. Jocelyn Musin, he was just mentioning the two guys from Florida. That's what they brought. They made themselves to be a valuable asset to their hockey club that night. Now, does it go through the NHL? That's what they're chasing out. They can't get these guys out of here, though.
I don't think they're chasing that out.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
When it like, comes to a when what it I'm comes trying to say is though, that's where it goes to, though.
But what I'm trying to say and highlight is that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think – like, the NHL, and as I listen to Bill Daly and Gary Bettman and all these people, they're trying to take the cheap shit out.
Yeah.
But they don't have a problem with guys playing physical, with energy, and doing this stuff. Now, Haley didn't do anything that I deemed to be like reckless or stupid. He chirped.
Bertuzzo.
Nothing dirty.
Did something stupid as opposed to what he did.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is where I'm headed with this is, and I can tell you from experience, like I had a different role when I played than Darren Kimball. And my role was to recognize Michael Haley's of the world, and as they're running around, and then go after the other team's top players.
Yep.
I don't mean fight, but if you had, like in Florida's case, you got Barkov and Huberdeau and these guys that are getting wheeled up, I can tell you what, if Michael Haley just hit Vladdy Tarasenko and he's doing that shit, the next shift I'm out there, you better believe that Barkov or Huberdeau are going down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make it known that I did that on purpose because Haley – touch Tarasenko. Now, back in the day, it was great because, like you said, we had Twister on the bench, and we had Rudy Poshek was a partner of mine for a while, and they'd say, hey, Riv, go create some work for me out there. Mm-hmm. And so that was a green light. I'd run around like a fool out there because I knew that, you know, I had the silverback gorilla crawling over the board's neck, dragging his knuckles on the ice, going to rip someone's head off,
yep.
Which was Twister. But the same token, like every team had those guys. But if you even the scoreboard like that, right? Like if Michael Haley's running around the other night, Bortuzzo, whether he fights him or not, I don't really care. Next shift, though, like you can lay in the weeds You can become a predator. It sounds awful, right? Mm-hmm. But I used to sit there and wait and time a pass. And when it got to somebody, like, wham! Yep. And nail them. And then chirp them a little bit. And now what you've done, you've created this intense playoff atmosphere. But Michael Haley and McGinn and these guys here, they're going, holy crap. Like, one, I better watch when this guy's on the ice. Two, hey, Barkov, I'm sorry. You know, yep. Sorry you're breathing out your ear hole right now. Well, maybe we'll take it down a notch. And then if they come after me, great. Maybe I can draw a penalty.
But who's gonna answer that for you on the Blues right now?
Well, this is the thing. I'd be flying solo on this one. Yep. My Thorburn would do it, but he wasn't in the lineup.
Yeah, he's in and out of the, yeah.
Which I don't understand that. You look across, and Michael Haley leads the NHL in fights this year. I think he's got 11 fights.
Yep.
Like almost twice as many as the next guy. I think the next guy is 7.
Is Thorburn hurt?
No.
No.
Get away from him, though. But who's going to cause the shit? Bertuzzo or Edmondson?
Well, Edmondson got jumped, too.
But I'm just saying, those are the guys that are going to
have to. He's a willing combatant, but he got jumped.
Who on your forward line is going to go do that?
Well, nobody.
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 Nobody. And like Sabolka, I said, should. If back in the day, he would have, maybe. But
well, he should have absolutely this
but
time.
But he won't do it.
He's the same height and size as Michael Haley. He could have went over there.
He's riding his $3 million out and looking. And there's just this top six forward role that he thinks he is, you know, and but that's where we're missing here. The Blues are missing that spunk. They're missing, and that wakes people up. I'm telling you, that wakes the shit
up. And let's be very clear on this. Nothing I said there has to do with fighting.
Nothing.
Like, I didn't say you have to go and rip the guy's head off. No. I didn't say that. I said pay it back.
Exactly.
You know, and I didn't say cheap shot. I didn't say jump or run and put an elbow in his face. No, hit him hard. Play the same way to make them crazy, and maybe they act stupid.
And it's not even paying it back. But why can't we initiate?
There you go. You know,
why can't? But that's not the makeup of their forwards right now. And that's what I'm saying. If Evander Kane would come in and play the way he can, he likes to muck in the corners, and that's what his role was coming out. If he got to that. That's a huge benefit. Like, that's what Nashville, if you go look at Nashville's team, they got those guys running all over the damn place. But they got their talented guys, but they got these little shits running all over the place. The Pittsburgh Penguins won a Stanley Cup. The third and fourth line ran around like dogs.
Well, they're buzzing.
You know?
You got to have it.
You got to have it. And I don't see that. I don't see it on our team.
All right. Well, as we head into one of our final segments here, we're going to talk about how do we build a playoff team, right? What better way to talk about it than innovative construction? Yep. Jim, tell us a little bit about Innovated.
Well, it's one of the other arms underneath that umbrella. They've pulled it all together with InnovatedCompanies.com. Innovated Construction can take care of anything you need, residential, commercial. They'll take care of building it out for you. They can sit down and do the planning as well. You know, again, you guys met Randy and Stephanie here, tremendous people. They deserve an opportunity for your business. Second generation craftsman, 35 plus years experience, InnovatedCompanies.com.
Unbelievable. Check out their website. They've got tons of great reviews and pictures and stuff that they do. And as we get back on to topic here, we talk about building a playoff team. Where do you build it from? You build it from the net out. Everybody does that these days. And I've been a very, very vocal supporter of both goalies. But certainly lately, I've been the guy that has, been very, very pro Jake Allen. The other night was not a good night for Jake Allen. It just wasn't. And I've been hoping that these were just misfires for him. I was hoping that we weren't playing solid defensively. I was hoping that the outnumbered or outman situations that they created were part of the problem. But the other night, guys, excuse me, he just didn't seem like he was in sync with what was going on. Like, one of the goals, he's sliding right and the guy's shooting it left. He didn't, like, it went off his head into the net, but he was going the wrong way. So now my question to both of you, and Kimby, we'll start with you, is, like, where do you go from here? Because this is, this happened last year with Jake. He hit a dip in the road, then he came back like Vladislav Tretiak, one of the best goalies to ever play the game in the sport of hockey. He came back looking like that, but he had a dip in the road so bad that Doug Armstrong literally had to, like, send him home to recalibrate his brain or give him a rest, as they said.
There's the week rest. There we go.
So where do we go from here?
Here, I'll just go from experience with. I lived with Eddie Balfour. Eddie was in my wedding party, a good friend of mine, and I know through the course of a year, Eddie. And back in the day, Eddie would play like 60 games, or you know, he played a lot of them. And that's what the goalies did back in the number one. There wasn't the backup goalie wasn't the gap wasn't as close as it is now, and so when Eddie's playing. You never wanted to screw with his mentality. You didn't want to do that. Mike Keenan tried that, and then that didn't always work out in his best, you know, because it would piss Eddie off. Back in the day, it would work out because Eddie's mentality was, you piss me off, I'll show you. Jeremy Roenick, I'll show you. Chris Chelios,
But that was Eddie's personality.
That was the mentality.
Ultra competitive.
Yeah. But and Eddie would have bad games, and you could sit there and you could ask him. There's times the shit just went. But there was when Eddie got back and like with Jake was in the playoffs last year. You could shoot little BBs at Eddie, and he'd stop the goddamn thing. And that's just mm-hmm. the good goalies get that way. Now, where Jake is, you know, he's played pretty good up to this point. So he has a bad game. We talked last show that we were on, Rivs. There was people were talking about the goalie controversy that was going around at that point. And Hutton's been playing good. Your backup, the backup don't really have to do too much. The backup, when the time arises, you have to make your call in. And if you come in and start playing. The Blues are always going to give only going to be like 2-3 goal game. That's when they're playing their best. You're only going to give up 2 goals. That's the way they play. So a goaltender coming in it's a lot easier to play for the Blues than it is for a team that's a run and gun type of atmosphere.
Yeah.
So but Jake and it will help Jake in the future too, I believe, because that's the type of team. So you know as well, they're the most important player on your hockey team. The goaltender is come playoff time. So I believe if he gets his head straight, and now he's had a question back in the day, like you said, he went home last year. They sent him home and whatever was going on.
Give him a break.
Yeah. Wasn't the kid born at that time? Wasn't there something going on?
His kid was born right before that, and then
all that shit was going on. Yeah, yeah. They tied it all in together. but I think I sit here, and I'll still be pro Jake. He is the guy that you got to ride this year out. This is his year here. I let him ride, and I try to get him back in the ballgame, get his head to where it should be, because he's showing he can do it. If you get him back in the ball game and ride him out, hopefully things go right. If it doesn't go right, well, then Army's got to make that call. Now I've had you sort of check out on me a couple years in a row here. What's going on? You know, we're giving you the reign.
He's got a contract, too, on him. Yeah. Crumbs, why don't you look up his contract while we talk about this? Because I think he's got 3 or 4 more years on this team.
But he's a goalie, though. I think last year... You know, people need goalies in this league. You look, Philadelphia's been chasing a goddamn goalie down for how long were they chasing that one?
15 years?
Yeah.
So seriously.
You know, Minnesota, they're chasing one out. You know, that's the way this shit goes. And so he's going to get a shot again. It's just, I don't think he's gone yet. We played one game, he let's say, yeah, things are, and unfortunately with the media,
but the
way
problem
it is,
with it though, Kimby, is the one game, okay? And I'm going to say this. I'm going to isolate the last game, but the problem with that is now, when you're ready and you're able to identify a game where he's not good, now you backtrack, right? And you go, well, maybe those 5 games leading up to it, maybe there really was a problem.
You watched the video, and I didn't watch the video back, and I know you have, but fucking Tarasenko goes fucking sleeping on him on one of them, you know. And so you're gonna put about 2 or 3 of them. I'm not saying
I know,
all of
but
them,
when you're on the hot seat, right? Nobody unplugs it.
No,
but they fucking turn up the heat on you.
But we're in a situation where we're talking about. So you got Armstrong. And you got Yo and Berube and these guys that have been around a long time. Surely to God that they're seeing guys -4 that are supposed to be your top players.
Well, they are.
Guys -3. So you got to look at that, too.
They are. But
at Jake
the end of the day.
Jake Allen's only slipped here for a little bit. Let's get that.
At the end of the day.
You know, you need more than that out of me. Okay. I've seen Eddie Balfour go south for 2 weeks, but he comes back and he looks like the best goaltender in the world. You know,
And right now, in my opinion, the Blues have the luxury of Carter Hutton.
Yeah. To figure it out.
To figure it out.
Yeah.
So, Cromes, over to you now, our resident statistician. What do we got for contract on Jake Allen?
He is signed for 3 more seasons at $4.35 a year cap hit.
Okay, so let's get it out there right now. He's not going anywhere.
No.
Not because if he doesn't play good.
Not the next year, not anyway.
Well, first of all, if he doesn't play good, no one's picking him up. So, Army has to figure out with Marty Brodeur. In my opinion, never mind the goaltending. I know they got a new goaltending coach and all this stuff, but last year when Marty Brodeur stuck his nose in, and I don't know if he talking to Marty, he doesn't really talk about like how he, you know, turned everything around for Jake Allen. He just simply says, oh, we just talked about some stuff. We isolated just a couple of small things. He really talks about more about how he highlighted the positives. Mm-hmm. And whatever he did, it worked. So maybe Doug Armstrong goes, hey, Marty, instead of going to scout here and there and looking for these trade options for us, why don't you come back down here, throw a tracksuit on, and get involved for a week or two?
But what's a goalie coach to you, Rivers? What's a goalie
coach? Well, you know what? They're really important these days, Kimby.
Bullshit.
No, they are. Listen, I could go on for an hour about it. Okay, we don't have time.
But I'm going to go with a goalie coach, to me, is someone the goalie can fucking talk to that's going to listen to it.
I used to think the same thing,
that's what
too.
I think.
But there's too much technique now that goes into goaltending. It's not. It's not an athletic position anymore.
We're going to differ on this. I believe Jake Allen is a good enough goddamn goaltender. He showed it here.
I'm not saying he's not.
That's what I'm saying. So the goalie coach is going to come in here and say, well, you're doing – okay, just talk to him. Get his confidence level.
No, but what he can do is he can pull tape, right? You pull tape of when things are good. And you do see things. I can tell you that. You see him an inch this way, an inch that way.
What does a lot of tape do, though, back – what does tape do? It's a way for a GM or a coach to say, look what the fuck you're doing, moron. You're doing this, and I can show it to you.
Well, yeah.
And then so they're trying to –
But that's the point.
But they use it – I had it used on me for negativity.
Well, yeah,
shit.
I know, but you're not going to do that with your number one goalie. No. He has 3 more years left, okay? What you're going to do is you're going to look for small things that have changed
to build
his
confidence up.
To build his confidence up.
That's all
up.
You're doing.
And you can usually see that. They go into the reverse VH, and maybe they're holding that position too long. Maybe he's giving up too much short side. Maybe he's cheating. His angles are off. Like, these are all intricate things. And now with the shot charts, right, you'll see how many beat him five hole, how many beat him high glove, how many beat him low blocker. And you can start to say, well, holy shit, there's a pattern here.
I don't buy into that as much as you do.
I'm not buying into it. It is what it is.
I think confidence is, because it's like I told you, when Eddie Belfour was on top of his damn game, you could have shot a BB anywhere, and a week earlier, he could have
talking
been,
about
he could
Eddie
have been letting
Belfour
it in his five
there.
Hole. Well, I know, but I'm just telling.
That'd be like me saying back in the day when Grant Fuhr or Dominic Hasek.
But I'm using him because that was a person that I was close to, and I lived in his house when he was going through all this shit. So I knew what his mentality was.
He was a mental
case, though. And me and Greg Smith, who lived with him in his house at the same time, we had to watch what the fuck
Holy
we were doing.
Holy shit, Chromes. You don't know Greg Smith. Old bird dog there. Big bird. You can't imagine. I can't believe I just heard that Darren Kimball, Greg Smith, and Eddie Belfour lived in the same house. Oh, you want to talk about a disaster.
Talk about loyalty to people, though.
Well, no doubt.
There.
Holy shit. So...
But I'm just saying it was a mentality thing, Crumbs. That's where not Crumbs, Rivers. That's where
don't
I'm going.
Don't you fucking
with this.
Call me Crumb, whatever.
That's where I'm going with this, though. A goaltender, any goaltender.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Is that?
I'm saying that there's information now at his disposal with video that can help correct small things.
I could save you money on a goddamn goalie coach. We can go and buy a top centerman here now.
Well, you can. This is true. Crumbs, fan perspective. On this Jake Allen, Carter Hutton, I want a fan perspective of knowing now what the contract situation is. What are fans thinking right now? Take the bullshit out that we just talked about.
The fans don't care how much money he makes. They want the better goaltender to play. And right now, the fans think Carter Hutton's a better goaltender. Now, there are people that are going to defend Jake. Maybe and again, I follow this on the social media thing. You know, you got people that want to rush to Jake's defense because they've got that feeling of almost to what Darren's saying. I think some of the fans are smart to recognize you can't screw with this guy, because I think most fans have been educated to think that goalies are nuts anyway and they're fragile and you got to do this. But then you got to put yourself in, whether it's Armstrong, really Mike Yeo's shoes, and say, look, I can appreciate that I need to do this, I need to do that, but at the end of the day, this is not a developmental league. We're here to win hockey games.
No, for sure.
And if Carter Hutton's playing better and giving us a better chance, he's got to do that. Listen, as a fan, and Garrett, Coach Henson and I have always had these back and forth, and I've said, listen, I don't care who you are or what you do, and you guys play the game, so you can actually answer this question. When you play and as hard as you can possibly play, which I think we would all agree in this room, it doesn't look at times like they do that. But – man, when you're struggling to put one by their netminder and they come down and get a soft goal, that's deflating. Okay, and that happens a little too much lately. I'm sorry, it just does. Then you add in the fact that you're not stealing any games for your team. And I think great goalies steal games.
When you're not scoring a ton of goals.
Sure.
And you're giving up, and you're spotting the other team, let's say, one goal a game, you're in tough. The league is really, really good, and it's tough. If you're not scoring 3-plus goals a game on an average, and you're giving up one guaranteed goal a game, it's tough.
You know what? You know what's,
I agree with you.
You know what's tough is the goaltender plays. He's had a couple bad goals here, and he's the focal point of what's going on for this 5 days now. So he's going to eat this for the next 5 days. And you got guys who I watched on TV, Mr. Steen, go, you guys are all caught up in these stats. Right out of his mouth, you guys are all caught up in this. Well, I'm caught up in it now because you're minus four, you goddamn it. You know, and all and the goalie's getting all the heat. Tarasenko, minus two or three. Okay, buckle up here and play for your goaltender maybe. Well, obviously, you're not doing that right now.
Well, let me say this back to you. I mean, let's face it. Every fan has a DVR now, and guys like Jamie and even you like will watch it, and then you can come on and you can break it down, and you see people on Twitter with their phones up on their TV going, "What in the world is going on here?" You know, you have all that stuff.
Kimby
going
still
on.
Operates off of
okay?
VHS.
But and the truth is, yes, you see plays like that, but I'm going to come at you from another way. Are some of these guys minus two because he can't stop a beach ball?
Well, look, hey, hang
well,
on.
I'm just being honest.
Hang on. Let's stop the plus-minus talk, okay?
You
it's
hate
a bad stat.
It
it's
is a
horrible
stat.
Stat because
we're going to do a whole show on that because I don't think people understand why.
You know,
it's
like,
bad.
I understand what Darren's saying, and I think what he's trying to say in his defense here or in his cause is that some of these goals are a direct reflection of guys not working hard enough, not back-checking, not blocking a shot, not filling the lanes. And that's where they get minuses and we get scored on. The sad part of a minus or a plus is you could be standing out in Never Neverland, have nothing to do with the play, or come on the ice and they shoot from outside the blue line and score and you get a minus. It has nothing to do with you. So it's a very, very difficult stat, in my opinion, to grade players by.
I know we're going to have to get out of here, but I think the game against Florida, I'll let Jake take some of the responsibility of that because he let it.
Well, he has
times.
To.
But someone
has to.
Someone's got to go down the road with him on this, though, because I don't think the team was played as good as this team can play defensively by giving up one or two goals and they do their job and Jake stops the important ones. That's what happened at the start of the season. So now all of a sudden it doesn't happen. They give up seven goals. I'll guarantee you Mr. Allen wasn't responsible for all seven.
But they still had 20-plus block shots, though,
again,
Kimby.
But it goes with confidence, though, that we talked about, right?
Well, I'm so just saying, you want to talk about guys getting in the shooting
Blues,
lanes and doing something. They got 20-plus block shots of the night.
When the Blues play good, the defense plays good, and Jake Allen plays good. So all of a sudden,
I know,
when,
now
the
you want
play bad, when the Blues play bad, now we're going to blame it on Jake Allen.
No, we're not. No, that's not fair because I haven't blamed him. I haven't said a damn thing about Jake Allen until the Florida game.
Because when did he get pulled? Was it four? So three more goals come into the process after that, don't they?
Two, I think.
Then it was five then. It was seven to four, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were winning, then all of a sudden they were down two and they pulled him. Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, I haven't said a negative word about Jake Allen until the Florida game. And then, like I just mentioned earlier, once you have one of those games, now you backtrack three, four, five games and say, shit, has this really been a pattern?
Yeah.
Or is it just
one-off? I don't think we're there yet with him. I don't.
I hope we're not. Yeah. I love the guy. I think he's a great goalie.
I do, too. And I, like I said, goalies, goal scorers, fighters, whatever we did, everything ran off of confidence. That's when you played your best. When I was fighting and doing well in my fights, I was I could fight anybody. But when things weren't going good, I could get beat by the lowest guy.
Well, you always have patterns, right?
Yeah.
And every now and then you get into a pattern where it just doesn't seem like, as a fighter, it just doesn't seem like you can win them.
Yep.
As a defenseman, for me, it was like, I just can't seem to not be a minus.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a goalie, it's like, I just can't seem to play a full game.
Yep.
So
the analogy I'll use, and I think a lot of fans will get this, and you guys too, because you follow me, I will say this. I'll compare it to the Cardinals. Like, I don't think Mike Matheny's the problem, but he's not helping right now. Mm-hmm. In games. And that's what I feel about Jake Allen. Like, do I think he's the number one problem? No, I don't. But I also don't think he's helping. I mean, well, we have other issues.
If you're talking about, like, last year, if you want to go back real quick, and you say Jake Allen won the first round of the playoffs. He absolutely won that series against Minnesota because they were outshot 2-1 almost in every game.
Mm-hmm.
So he won that series.
Yep.
So I get what you're saying is he the whole problem?
Well,
no.
Who is he?
No, he's not the problem. Is he the solution? Well, not right now either.
Yeah.
He's kind of in the middle.
Right. And that's how a fan feels right now. Because I think as a fan, you get confused because that's the question.
Well, you want Jake Allen from last year in the playoffs.
Well, you want him all the time.
Who doesn't want that?
Right. You want a guy. It's like an ace. You want a guy you feel like you can stick out there, and he's going to be solid every night. if you have a hiccup once every blue moon, but I'm sorry, and I and listen, Darren, I know you're a huge fan. I'm a huge fan. There's too many hiccups to be a number one. Kind of like if you're a quote-unquote ace in baseball. You can't go out there and get knocked around all the time and wear that label. That's not what an ace does. An ace, when you lose three games in a row, when it's his turn to pitch, you're winning.
But hold on here. You're talking about it this week. Where's this been all year?
Yeah, but you know, Kimby, the old saying, right, was if you had a good game, right, guys would joke around. You go back in the locker room and go, oh, hey, Kimby, nice goal, you know, but now they're going to expect it every night.
Yeah.
Same shit.
But I'm just saying, though, we haven't.
He had a great series last year.
In the last two weeks.
But they expect it
now. But that's what I'm just saying. We've talked about it in the last 2 weeks. You've played with goaltenders' ribs.
I know.
They go south something. You're playing an 80-game schedule back in the day when they played 60. It's tough shit on these guys.
What do you do?
To wrap it up.
Do you just leave him in?
No, yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
Look, to wrap it up.
Get his goalie coach to talk in his ear for a little bit.
Hey, okay. To wrap it up, because obviously we're getting long on time here. To wrap it up, it just goes back to our original comment now, or original thoughts from even a couple weeks ago. This is why it's so important in the NHL to have goalie 1A and 1B. This is why the Pittsburgh Penguins won two cups in a row.
Yeah.
They had goalies 1A and 1B. Due to injury, due to lack of focus, due to bad luck, whatever the case, they're able to go with 1A or 1B.
But go to your top. Go to the start of the season when the GM and them come out and they say Jake's your number one goalie. So there.
But he's 1A.
And he wants the number one goalie.
But
right?
He's 1A.
I know. But
so now things aren't going right. You're going with your Marc-Andre Fleury now, which is Carter Hutton.
But don't go there and then throw this guy down there. We can't.
I don't
do
think
that.
They're throwing him down the bus.
Yeah, don't
or down. I don't think they're throwing him in front of
us. I know the management's not doing that. I know that.
I just think that.
I'm just saying these fans.
To don't summarize go all it.
Crazy.
To summarize it as a whole, you have to have two goalies.
I agree with that.
1A and 1B. I'm going to just. We can roll it out on that, Jim. Unless we have something else we got to cover here, we can roll out on that. That I'd like to end the discussion about Jake Allen for now, because whether he's 1A or 1B for the short term here in the future, he's still a number one goalie in this league. He just is.
Yep.
He's proven it. So now it's time to pull the Pittsburgh Penguins formula out and go with one of your two top goalies. And that's it.
Yep.
Whoever's winning, keep riding them out.
Yep. I got nothing wrong with that. I like that.
Well, and, you know, you have to have multiple players. You got to have guys that are stars. You got to have guys that are, which is what you do. And you, of course, every week are brought to us by your own Synergy Hockey. So why don't you tell us what's going on with Synergy Hockey before I do the gratuitous exit.
Yeah.
And we'll get you out of here.
Midwinter, hockey starts to pick up here locally. The young kids start getting after it. First, before we even talk about that, I'm going to hit on it real quick. We don't have to go around the table, but our good buddy Brady Tkachuk had a fantastic World Junior Championship. He's up there now, number two in Central Scouting for the NHL draft coming up. So St. Louis kid, another one doing great, number two in the draft coming up, ranked there right now. And also McKenna Webster playing for the U18 Ladies Team USA at the World Championships. She scored a huge overtime goal the other day against Sweden. She's playing phenomenal. So two St. Louis kids doing really great. And, you know, it starts here at home with all the stuff that they're doing locally with Synergy Hockey. We get out there. We're doing lessons right now. Sign up. They're filling up quick. We've already sold out Sunday, and I think we sold out Friday. There's a couple of morning sessions available. We got camps coming up. We're selling those like hotcakes right now. People are in the hockey mood. I'm telling you what, they know that St. Louis is a hockey hotbed nowadays, and they're getting their kids out there. So if you're interested in signing up for anything at all to do with Synergy Hockey, go to synergyhockeyskills.com. Check it out. Look at our programs. If you have questions, email me, email somebody on the staff. We'll get back to you, but now's the time to do it.
Well, I think what people are really realizing is you don't have to be that elite guy to get better at Synergy. Again, it comes down to just being the best player you can be. And you've done an unbelievable job with the best. You've done an unbelievable job with the mid. I mean, it's
the important thing is that everybody continues to get better. Whatever level that is, you continue to get better. Who doesn't want to make progress in life? In anything you do, right?
So I would think it'd be a great life
quality. The focus is on just getting better.
Well, great stuff, guys, today. I love the conversation. I like the flow. Good thing that we changed up a little bit of the format, which I hope our fans enjoy.
They better. Oh, well.
Well, and if they don't, they can tell you about it. How about that?
Make sure you tag Kimby if you don't like it.
Too many Christmas. Well, hey, we want to thank all of our listeners for continuing to follow the show. Make sure you check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast there. You can listen to the show. Do your shopping through Amazon there. Helps us cover our costs there. You can scroll down on your mobile device or go to the right on your computer. We appreciate you doing that. And absolutely appreciate all the support we get from you guys on social media. Find us on our Twitter accounts at STL Blues Podcast, at NHL Show. Find us on Facebook. That's our big ask. Type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page. Invite your friends to like it as well. All your Blues fans, we'd love for them to be a part of the conversation. You can find us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast. And again, special thanks to everybody at lineupmedia.fm. All of our partners, which you heard from in the show, innovativecompanies.com, Tommy Brown Tax Resolutions, Nelson Land Services, just tremendous people that we're happy to be associated with. Of course, Synergy Hockey, tremendous people within the community that are doing great things, and we want you to give them an opportunity for your earned dollars. Of course, social media. Don't forget our friends, Art City Sports, St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes, St. Louis Blues Fans Unite, everything STL Sports. Great Facebook pages that love to talk Blues hockey. Check them out. Be part of the conversation. For Darren Kimmel and Jamie Rivers, I am your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. We are the Blues NHL Podcast. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.